Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse number 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worship, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him which sat upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Father, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can stand tonight and look into your word. And tonight, Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God might take our words tonight, might penetrate into each of our hearts and teach us the things that you would have us to learn. We ask you now, dear Lord, that you might give us the unction and the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. Let us leave here tonight knowing you far more and loving you a lot deeper. Tonight we ask you now to take this very simple message, use it for the glory and the honor of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray, amen. Sometimes we sing the song that they sang a moment ago, and what a day that will be. I love the song that has the chorus that says, how beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary, how beautiful heaven must be. Sometimes I wonder, what will heaven be like? Now, you know, sometimes as I begin to think about that, I cannot tell you all that I want to tell you about heaven. I cannot tell you tonight all that'll be there. But one of the things that I've noticed throughout the Scripture tonight, and especially as I read here in the book of the Revelation this evening, that one thing I can say with some degree of certainty is that a lot of the experience of heaven will have to do with music. I heard an old joke several years ago, and I don't know if it's true or not, but someone said that the musical instrument that will be played in heaven is the harp, and the musical instrument that'll be played in hell is the accordion. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, I do know that in the book of the Revelation, we find that God here draws the curtain back and just a little bit. And we can nearly hear, and sometimes it seems like I can really hear the choir beginning to practice. I can begin to hear the sounds and the songs of heaven. You see, they're not the sounds and of sermons or lectures or the noisy clamor of meetings or anything like that. The sounds that fill heaven tonight, that surround the throne of God and echo throughout eternity and down through the quarters of time, are the sounds of singing. Revelation tells us here that the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one of them holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and living creatures and elders and numbered myriads and thousands of thousands that were singing with a full voice. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing. That's the songs and the sounds that we find tonight that echo back from heaven. Someone said once upon occasion, I don't know if I like singing. Well, You better like it, because you won't enjoy heaven if you don't. Because we found that in heaven tonight, you're going to see the great sound. There is the sound of singing. If we come back just to the earth for a moment, can you imagine tonight a church without music? That would amaze me tonight, to have a church without music or singing tonight. And as we musically tonight worship in our service, whether it be by choir singing or specials or anything else that we do tonight, congregational singing, the purpose of our music tonight is for one purpose. That's to express what we really believe this evening. Just as here in the book of the Revelation that I read to you this evening, all of our music tonight should point to God, to whom we have come here tonight to worship. The church has always been a singing church. The Bible contains many songs tonight as you read through the scripture. There are songs in the Old Testament like Miriam's song commemorating and giving God the glory at the crossing of the Red Sea. And Hannah's song tonight giving thanks for opening her empty womb and her barren womb tonight and giving her a son by the name of Samuel. Of course, the book of Psalms tonight is the songs of ancient Israel. That's their songbook tonight. The Psalms 113 through 118 tonight are called the Hallel Psalms, and they were sung in connection with the Passover. The Gospels record for us that after the Last Supper, before Jesus and his disciples left for Gethsemane, they sang a hymn. More than likely, it was Psalms 118. The New Testament, there's the song of Mary the Magnificent tonight, and the song of Zechariah, and the song of Simeon, and scattered out through Paul's letters tonight are traces of Christian hymns of the early church. I think tonight's songs offer a deeper dimension of our experience of worship. John Calvin, the great reformist tonight, wrote about music having a secret and almost incredible power to move the human heart. Our music affords us tonight an opportunity to offer something of beauty in worship. And when we sing as a congregation, we are most actively engaged in worship than at any other point, probably in our service. The music and songs of our faith are some of our greatest possessions. Martin Luther, another great reformist tonight, considered music to be one of God's greatest gifts. He believed tonight that when people begin to suffer depression tonight, that they needed to sing the hymns of the faith. And that would lift their spirits and lift their soul. You find tonight that that's biblically and scripturally correct. You find that when Saul tonight would get in a state of depression, they would call and David would play and sing upon the harp. And Paul's and Saul's mood would be lightened. Martin Luther tonight said music was a great form of therapy, because he said the devil hates music. And he can sneer, but he could never sing, because he has nothing to sing about. He has no hope. You see, our music tonight is really a proclamation of the gospel. Our songs and our music tonight declare unto us and to those around us the saving power of Jesus Christ. And in some way tonight, they enable us to believe in our hearts and to become real in our heads tonight. We need to realize that the singing of heaven tonight is a wonderful thing tonight as we study here in the book of the Revelation. Singing the songs of our faith tonight really enables us to feel and sound out what we really believe in our heart. I look at the songs of Revelation tonight, and as the people of Revelation begin to sing, I think first of all that here's the song of praise and worship. How are we to worship this evening? Sometimes that question arises. Well, we find that John the Revelator has been exiled to the island of Patmos for simply being a Christian. We know that as John is here on the Isle of Patmos, that God revealed to him many things, and Jesus revealed to him many things. John tells us that in chapter 1 and verse number 10, it was upon the Lord's Day. To me, that's very significant. It was upon the day of worship when Jesus here appeared to John and gave him the revelation that we read tonight in the end of our scripture. According to the fourth chapter, as John was worshiping, he was suddenly transported into heaven. And what does he see there? What does he see when he arrives in heaven? As I told you the other evening, as we were studying through the book of 2 Corinthians, and we hear in detail many accounts of people who claim they've died and went to heaven and come back. And Paul was not allowed to tell of his experience, yet here we find that as God for just a moment of time pulls back the curtain a little bit and allows John to reveal a few of the things of heaven. But it seems like it's nothing tonight that we read about in some of these other works tonight, because here we find that John sees sitting upon a throne the Almighty God, shining with the brilliance of gemstones. He is surrounded by four magnificent creatures with eyes and wings resembling a lion, an ox, a human being, and an eagle. Somebody says, who do these creatures represent tonight? I think they're often tonight, and we should realize that they're associated with the gospel writers, Mark, Luke, Matthew, and John, and they're surrounded by an outer circle of 24 elders representing the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are they doing this evening? They're worshiping God together. The heavenly court tonight have thrown themselves completely into worship. The four creatures unceasingly cry, "Holy, holy, holy," to praise the Lord God Almighty. And sing with them, the 24 elders fall down before the throne, singing in unison that God is worthy to receive glory and honor and power because he created all things. You see, tonight, Sunday's worship is all about to be alive with the sounds of heaven tonight, to be in praise and worship of the Lord. Abraham Herschel, a Polish-born American who had escaped Nazi Germany, once said that that worship is more than paying homage. He said to worship is to join the cosmos in praising God. The whole cosmos sings tonight. Every living thing sings, the psalmist insists. Neither joy nor sorrow, but song is the ground plan of being. It is the uniqueness and the quality of life. To praise is to call forth the promise and perseverance and the presence of the divine. We live tonight for the sake of a song, and we tonight praise for the privilege of being. And worship tonight is simply the climax of living. There is no knowledge without love, but no truth without praise. At the beginning tonight, we find that when God created the heavens and earth, that there was song. Because the sons of God shouted for glory, and the sons of morning broke out into song. Praise is man's response tonight to the never-ending beginning of God. Every time we gather for worship tonight is a time for us to live this vision from John's revelation. It is our practice time when we arrive at the throne of God ourselves. Because when we arrive in heaven tonight, we're going to be there to praise and worship the one tonight whose blood was shed upon the cross of Calvary that allowed us to be there. We'll not be able to sing praises to our righteousness or tonight thank God for our greatness. We'll not be there tonight to do anything more or less than to worship and praise the Almighty tonight. To sing thank you and feel grateful for the grace and the love and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be upon the throne. As we sang, as Bruce and... Lord, sometimes things escape me. Rachel sang a moment ago. Miss Ben sang a moment ago. What a day that'll be, amen. But you know what it really says tonight is, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. How can we do anything more or anything less than simply saying praise to the Lamb of God? Praise to the Lamb of God. That's what tonight the song of heaven is all about. It's the song of praise and worship this evening. There's a lot of things about heaven I don't know about yet. A lot of things about heaven one day I know I'm going to find out. I'll read a lot about heaven in the Bible. But the one thing that I can tell you tonight above everything else, it's a place tonight where Jesus Christ is the light, and tonight he is the object of our worship and our affection tonight. And God the Father sets up on the throne, and we are there tonight to honor and praise and glorify him. What a wonderful time we're going to have in heaven. As I sat there a moment ago and Bruce was talking about when Brother Oswald used to sing that song, I was saying, well, I wish I could sing it. But you know, one day I will. One day I'm going to be able to. And I think, I might be wrong, I don't know, but I've thought about this. I think one day when I'm able to sing that song, I'm going to be able to sing it with the same enthusiasm as Morgan. Because I'm going to be so proud to be there. Amen. I'm going to be like Minnie Pearl. I'm just proud to be there. And I want to sing with enthusiasm tonight to the Lamb of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Because why? Nobody ever loved me. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. And that's the thing we're going to be doing in heaven tonight. That's part of the singing and the sounds of heaven as we come together and gather around the throne of God and sing praises to the Lamb of God tonight. So we're going to be able to sing the songs of praise and of worship. But then there's a song of victory. Revelation chapter 14, it talks about the victory that Jesus is going to have. I'm glad tonight we have victory in Jesus. I can tell you tonight that we have victory in this life in Christ. But more importantly tonight, I can tell you that he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I can tell you tonight that there's a great victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not tonight fighting for the victory. Praise God, I'm fighting from the victory. I'm like the little boy that said, I've already read the last chapter, and we win. Victory in Jesus tonight. You know, sometimes I think we need to just take a little time and stop and think what Jesus means to us tonight. You see, Jesus Christ tonight is sufficient for salvation. He is sufficient for creation. He's the only mediator between man and God. He's the sun that enlightens and the physician that heals. The wall of fire that defends and the friend that comforts. He's the pearl that enriches and the ark that supports and the rock to sustain under the heaviest of pressures. And tonight he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He tonight is our peace. A lot of folks looking for peace tonight. Jesus is our peace. He is our hope. I have no other hope tonight. I look around this world tonight and I see it crumbling and falling apart. Politicians wringing their hands trying to figure out which direction to go next. Tonight is time for the church to quit looking to politicians tonight and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our hope tonight. He's our life, because without Christ we have no life. He is our Lord of hosts. He's the Redeemer. the Holy One of Israel and the God of the whole earth. He's the great I Am. He is the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Paul said in the book of Philippians that he tonight is Lord. Doesn't matter whether people believe it or not, Jesus Christ tonight is Lord. Sometimes I pass used to pass certain communities, and it would say, Jesus is Lord, and it would name the community. We could put that sign up over the whole earth tonight, Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. He is the firstborn of all creation tonight. He is our advocate. He is the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the author of life, the author of our salvation tonight. He's the beginning and the end. He's the bread of life, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd and our deliverer. Jesus Christ tonight is eternal life. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's our great high priest, the Holy One. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the horn of salvation, Emmanuel, God with us. The judge of the living and the dead. The light of the world and the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the living stone and the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords tonight, the mediator of the new covenant, the mighty God and the morning star, the offspring of David and the only begotten Son of God, our holiness, our protection, and our redemption, and our righteousness. He tonight is the prophet, priest, and king, the resurrection and the life. He's the rock of ages tonight upon which we can stand during the storms of time. He's the root of David and the ruler of the kings of the earth, the true light and the true vine. And as Jesus said, he is the truth. He tonight is the one tonight whom we worship. He is the way. You see, tonight it's all about victory in Jesus. I can tell you about Jesus, and I can tell you tonight the wonderful story of the gospel, but I can't bring you victory. But tonight Jesus can. I have victory tonight, not because I'm a pastor, not because tonight of anything I've done, but because tonight I have victory in Jesus Christ. There's a commercial on television, you might have seen it in it, an advertisement for the University of Phoenix, and I know nothing about the University of Phoenix, except it's basically an online college, and one of the things it says their football team has never been defeated. That's because they don't have one. I want to tell you tonight, I got a Lord that's never been defeated tonight. They thought he had him, but I want to tell you, hallelujah, he arose. He tonight is our victory. That's what we're going to be singing about in heaven. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Then there's a song of glorification. Find that in the book of Revelation chapter number 19. And I think this is one of my favorite chapters in all of the scripture. Verse 19, verse 1, it said, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Verse 6 says, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Here we have the song of glorification and the raising of our voices in glory to God. Fanny Crosby said, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved us the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to God, oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. I'm glad tonight that to God be the glory. I'm glad tonight we can sing that song. You see, the word hallelujah has many, has several different meanings. They all center around praise. But one of the meanings tonight that I discovered was that the word hallelujah means that something hoped for has happened. Hallelujah tonight. I'm hoping for the coming of the Lord. I'm hoping tonight for God to be revealed tonight and Jesus to be seen as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That's what Revelation 19 is all about. He's come. The blessed hope of the child of God has arrived. Hallelujah. I'm sure most of you are aware of a written cantata, I guess we could call it, or a musical written by a man named Mendel that was called the Messiah. And the last part of that piece tonight is entitled The Hallelujah Chorus. And I love to listen to it be sung. Blesses my heart. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdoms of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and forever and ever and forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. See tonight, he shall reign. That's what this is all about here in Revelation chapter 19. It's the reign of the Son of God. It's the coming tonight of when Jesus comes with great power and glory. And God is glorified in the whole earth. Well, tonight, man tries tonight and they curse God. They blaspheme God. They do every kind of thing they can to God tonight. But I want to tell you, there's coming a day, hallelujah. There's coming a day, glory to God, when the whole earth is going to see the glory of God. And we're going to be singing, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You're a child of God tonight. That ought to kind of set you put wood on fire just a little bit to realize that one of these glorious days, we're going to be standing in the choir singing, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth forever and forever, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of him and his Christ. That's what heaven's all about tonight. That's the songs of heaven. Song we want to praise and worship God tonight. We can tonight worship and think about the victory that Jesus brought to us tonight. And we can sing the songs glorifying and lifting up God the Father to all the world. I'm kind of excited about getting there myself. I think one of these days, when the Lord says, come up hither. Hallelujah, I can burst on the scene. And I open my mouth and praise unto God. Tonight, think about what heaven means to you. I don't know everything about heaven tonight, but I know what a beautiful place heaven must be. I'm headed there tonight. I hope you are too. Tonight, Jesus made it possible for us all so we can praise and worship him. We can shout the victory in him, and we can give him and his Father tonight the glory of all time. All right, go stand together with me. Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message tonight and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. His precious holy name I pray. Amen.